हरे कृष्णा।
यस हरे कृष्णा।
That is for the devotees who live in the temple, grihasthas in the temple. When the wife wants to live outside the temple and the husband don't, or when the husband wants to go out and the wife wants to stay in, when the sons cause a bit disturbance in the ashram, in the temple, or when the attention to the kids disturb the attention that you have to give to the deities, or the attention to deities neglect to the child, and the other question about the nectar of devotion. When someone is worshipping the deity and a Vaishnava comes in, when he arrives, if you stop the worship to attend the Vaishnava, till what point we can consider that if the, like the family members, the parents are considered to be Vaishnavas, or aspiring Vaishnavas? Those are the questions.
Okay. Basically, is that, see, it's a, the husband and wife, it's a cooperation. And so then, you know, how, you know, they're supporting each other in their pursuit of, you know, developing love for Krishna. So naturally they would discuss all the different things on what will be favorable for their, progress. You know, so, you know, being in the temple, will that help? Or not being in the temple, will that help? These things should be discussed. That under what consideration they're comfortable in the temple, what considerations they would be more comfortable living on their own. You know, so it's not enough he wants to move out or she wants to move out or he wants to live there, she wants to live. Why? What's the idea? What's the concept? How will that work? How in their idea of I want to live, move out, how does that accommodate the other person? And, oh, I want to stay in the temple, how does that accommodate the other person? So they have to work these things out. It's not just this or that. You know, and then you either give, you know, not giving attention to the children because you're so absorbed in the temple service, then the question is why have children? Right? You know, raising children needs a certain amount of attention. So it's not that you have children and nothing changes in your life. You know, so you have to be able to balance that. And if we say the children are making trouble in the temple, are the children engaged? Is someone with them? You know, are children valued, that they're something worth putting attention and energy into? You know, these are things that must be considered. So point is, if children are there, they have to get the appropriate attention and appropriate engagement. So that's why then Prabhupada started Gurukul, you know, so that the children in the temple would have engagement. And there'd be devotees that would take care of them during the day while their parents were doing service. And, you know, mornings and evenings, the parents would take care. So the people involved should be those who value, you know, children and understand how to inspire them to be Krishna conscious, you know. Or, you know, if that works nicely in one place, one building, otherwise have another building. And then that's where those grihasthas or those kids will be, or they'll go there during the day for classes, you know, whatever. You have to use your intelligence. It's not a matter of, oh, if the kids are there, that's Maya, right? Giving kids attention, oh, that's attachment, that's Maya. So these kind of things one has to see is that there's a completeness there. It's a matter of connecting all these different things to Krishna. You know, and if the brahmacharis are disturbed that there's anyone other than themselves in the temple, then you can have another place for them, and then they come for the doing the service and go back to their ashram. But the idea is that everyone's devotees are trying to cooperate together and be Krishna conscious. And there has to be a balance. So it's not just about the brahmacharis or just about the grihasthas or just about the kids. It has to be a balance. And when it says you leave the deity worship to take care of that, that means guests or someone like that. It doesn't mean the local devotees or anyone like that. If there's the other devotees in the temple, why can't they take care? Why does the one doing the worship have to take care? It means if in the temple there's one devotee, yes, he takes care of the puja, and then if people come, then he stops, goes, takes care of the guests. Then when that's all taken care of, he goes back to take care of the deities. But it's more, it means more of being connection with, grihastas are doing puja at home, and if a guest comes, then they take care of their guest. Right? And there must be a balance there. Right? If they're local devotees, they're not exactly guests. So a devotee shouldn't be thinking, no, everybody has to stop everything because I'm here. But at the same time, it's not, well, I'm doing puja and that's more important, so I don't deal with anybody. It needs a bit of a balance. Does that work?
Hey, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Jaj. Hare Krishna.
Swami Mataji, should I ask the question of Prabhu Manohara that we couldn't do yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. Manohara Prabhu, he asked about the 50% that the Grihastha should give, because he said, oh, here in Brazil it's almost impossible to give 50%. Yes, that's Prabhu Manohara. So devotees don't know
Prabhu
how to
Manohara's
give 50%.
The one on the right or the one on the left?
Is the one on our right, the more whitish boy.
Okay, so with books and without books, okay.
Sorry, man?
Yes. So, what does 50% mean? This is a very... It appears to be a very difficult thing to understand because there's two different interpretations. Right?
Yes.
So two main approaches. So some authorities, then they have the idea that 50% means 50% of whatever you have. Half of all your money, half of your house, half of your car. You know, half of that cheesecake you're going to eat for lunch. Definitely half of the pizza. Right? Now somebody just hand you some money. Hey, here's something. Can you give this to that Prabhu? They want half of that. 100% would be better, but Prabhupada only says 50, so what to do? Then we have the other side for the Grihastha. His idea is 50% of nothing. Right? So one says you should give 100% of everything, and one is give zero of nothing. So this is a problem. Right? So 50% doesn't mean of what money you get. It means 50% of what you have to spend on yourself. So, let's say you get, you do some work. Then from the work, you get a certain amount of money. And government will take their tax, right? So then what's left from the tax, now that you can start using to spend, right? So then there's your regular rent, your electricity, your water, whatever it is that is your regular expenses, right? And then after all the regular expenses, there's something left, right? So with that money that's left, that's the money that you decide, okay, we're going to, you know, buy a first class ticket around the world to visit all the temples. Or I'm going to get those pair of Jordan Air shoes, Nike shoes that I've been wanting for the last so many years. Or we're going to go buy our Ferrari with that. That's the one of 50%. It's not 50% out of what you use for paying bills and that, because that's not profit. It's 50% of your profit, not 50% of your regular stuff. Right? So someone could be clever and say, oh, but I could, let's say I have X amount of money left over. I could invest that in this and invest that in that, you know? Yes, but still you have no money to spend. It's what's left over. That makes sense. And even that, he's saying, what you have, what's that, what's left over, then you have a quarter of that you put away for emergencies, quarter of that is taking care of others like that, and then, you know, half of what's left. Right? So the problem is it's thought 50% of whatever I get. Right? What's the average? What do people get there? You get paid per week or per month?
Maharaj, depends on what work you do, but you want specifically to know about.
No. Okay, that. So how much do they get a month? Average.
Month was it? Could I give the
not
example
a trick
of
question.
My? Sorry.
It's not a trick question.
So can I give like example of my father to?
Yeah, just something.
Okay, so he gets let's say because he's a lawyer and sometimes he has a good action because he works for his clients. So at one month he can get 10,000 reals, but other months he can get nothing. But yeah, let's say 10,000 reals.
Yeah. So the point is, but you have to take care of the house. You have to take care of the regular food, the regular medicine, the regular everything. No. And you have to look at it. If it's not a regular on, you know, month to month, week to week, that's the same. You have to look at, you know, for the year, how much you cost. And after all those things are taken care of, then you have money left over. Right? So that money, I want to buy some special clothes or go to the movies or, you know, do this or do that or go on vacation. That's the money from now you're starting to say, now, you know, you put something of that away. Something of that goes to, you know, taking care of the relatives' needs. Something of that is given in charity.
Yes,
does that make sense or not?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Next, we have a question from Krishna Chaitanya Prasad Prabhu.
Are you both? You hear me?
Yes.
Yes, why not?
My obeisances. Maharaj? But what if someone as a grihastha, like to have not a simple life, and he makes like his regular expenses high, like say he has a really nice phone and credit card, every month credit card comes like a high bill, and like a really expensive and comfort car or house, more than like a necessary to have a normal life. And so how can this arrangement be made of 50%, because his regular bills are going to be way high because he's living a life.
No, but how is he buying that car or that phone? Okay, so the point is, but how do you get that? Because he can only buy all that out of 50% of what's his profit. Now, how did he get the fancy car? Unless his profit is $1 million, and so then he spends 500,000 on his fancy car, that's up to him. Point is, someone makes a lot of money, they can spend a lot of money. It's not our business to say, oh, you can't have a nice car. Yeah, the point is, he wants to buy himself, you know, a fancy phone. That'll cost him $1,000, right? So now the thing is, how does he get that, right? So if every month he only has, you know, an extra $200, so $100 he can put aside for that. So then after 10 months, now he can buy a phone. The fancy car didn't come out of nowhere, you know, and if he already has a fancy car and that, he has to maintain it, but whether he'll be able to have another one in the future, that depends upon how he runs his money. Does that make sense?
Yes. Please, I have another question. Let me give an example. So if someone earns $10,000 and then let's say house, water, electricity, and like regular food and things are like $5,000. And then he has $5,000 left. And then, with this $5,000, like, let's say he expends in credit card and a lot of things, like more than an okay life. I'm not saying even a simple life, but an okay life.
No, but the point is if he has $5,000 left, that's where you give in charity and you put money away. So what's left? Let's say he has, after doing all that, now he has $250. So now if he wants to invest $250 in getting his Ferrari car, then fine. He'll just have to pay for it over the next 500 years. So therefore, he has $5,000 left. That's now where he should put some away. He should give them charity. He needs some for taking care of family and this and that, because it's not just he wants the fancy car. She wants those shoes. The son wants that video game and stuff like that. He's got to take care of all that. So then what's going to be left? So he has $100 left. Okay, go buy your Ferrari. Not that he has $5,000 left, so now he goes out and buys his Ferrari and says, oops, nothing left for anybody else. That's not, you know, that's not a grihasta. Because if he has $5,000 left, is that, you know, it means he, and that he has to put some away, this, that, then how much he has left? Is that enough to maintain one of those fancy cars? One set of tires on those fancy cars can cost $5,000 to $10,000 each tire. Unless, of course, we have a different idea what a fancy car is. If you're thinking a Ford Pinto, then, I'm giving the wrong example. You understand? It's because you have to go with what you have now.
Então, você tem que ir com o que você tem.
You can't buy the stuff and say, oh, that went, because the point is, what did you buy that fancy phone with? That's your extra money. So did some of that go to charity? And if it didn't, okay, then, you know, and if he makes that much money that he's got so much left over and he can do stuff like that with, fine. That's him. That's his lifestyle. That's how he wants to spend it. Why should we be bothered? Why should we care? You know, of course, he shouldn't be doing donuts on the front lawn of the temple, you know, or standing out on the curb in front of the temple, putting out his boombox and doing some rap music with all the girls, you know, twerking or something. You know, go do that some other parking lot. One has to remember that being macho is overrated. Did that answer the question, or?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, Jai Ho. Hare Krishna.
We have a question.
Considering the importance of the training of Brahmachari, if a leader doesn't care that the dependents put the child in a regular common school, he should be already considered philosophically deviated.
That's the question? Are we done with the question, or there's more to the question?
No, yes, that's the question, Maharaj. Is that clear?
The point is what does how does the community work? What is the community doing with their children? You know, because you can't expect that he's going to have a policy any different than the community is comfortable with. Right? So therefore, then if all the parents are putting the kids in the you know, government schools, then, and he says, let's do Gurukul, and they say no, then what do you want? But if you have opportunity for setting up school, everyone wants to set it up, but he doesn't want to get involved in this and that, then there's room for discussion.
And another point, that the desire of the parents to put their kids in a proper school, in Gurukul, should also be something that the leader should be motivating and inspiring them.
That's ideal. But the point is if the community doesn't buy it, then how does it work? It has to be a balance. Because the thing is we can't say, oh, the leader should inspire us and all this and that. Otherwise, he's a nonsense. Right? And at the same time, let's say he's inspiring everybody come to the temple, you know, chant in the temple, do some deity worship in the temple. And then the community says, oh, don't be fanatic. You know, we have our own lives. We have things we need to do. So we can't say, oh, he's a fanatic, but he doesn't inspire us. You know, I mean, there has to be a balance here.
There's quite a few more questions. Should we go to the next one? It's okay if I take another question, Maharaj?
Why not? That's why we're here.
Brahmani Machi?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
So my question is regarding yesterday's class. As you mentioned, the wife will naturally follow the husband if he's supplying her needs accordingly, clearly. But some doubts arise from that when I observe in some situations that the husband lacks sensibility towards the wife's condition. So how should men proceed to develop that sensibility, seeing that they should be sensible, but sometimes they don't know how to acquire that type of ability to understand a woman's mind and emotions?
Point is he should be conscious. He should be aware. He should use his intelligence. I mean, the wife does talk, right? You suppose, right? That's a... have you ever seen a woman who doesn't talk? Right? Okay. So you have to listen. And what she says, then you have to figure out that, you know, this is the way it is. And then try to apply it. You know, especially when the wife is being very straightforward. Take those that's the way it is. Not that's the way it is today. That's the way it always is. Like if she tells you, I hate eggplant. Don't think that means just today. Don't do anything with eggplant. You know, so you have to be aware of what's going on. Right? And then as you apply yourself, you're judging. How is that working? Right? And so what things are working, go in that direction. What things aren't working, then you avoid that. So if you drop socks all over the floor and she gets angry, stop dropping socks all over the floor. Don't pee on the toilet seat. She doesn't like that. So be aware. Figure out what she likes and doesn't like. Use your brain. Does that make sense?
That's my wife, by the way, Maharaj.
Yeah, so in other words, be more aware.
Yes.
Yes.
Use your brain.
Yes.
And when she says something, listen. And learn to distinguish between when she's just saying something and when she's actually making a point. Is that okay?
Yes. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Next, we have a question from Rasanava Prabhu.
About the Brahmachari Ashram. So he mentioned that I saw all the troubles that comes from Grihastha Ashram, that actually there is more facilities to be engaged in Brahmachari Ashram. So he said that, as Maharaj mentioned, he could perceive that he was focusing on the negative aspect and not on the positive aspect of the Grihastha Ashram. So Maharaj, you say we have to focus on the positive, not the negative. So I was focusing on neglecting the Grihastha Ashram. So I want you to explain what is the positive aspect that the Brahmachari should focus if he wants to stay for life, not focusing on the negative aspect of the other ashram. So what he should be, his mentality, if he wants to stay.
How to remain a Brahmachari without focusing on the negative.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What's the point of the Grihastha Ashram? Right? It's to understand that there is no benefit in engaging the senses on the material platform.
Sorry, Maharaj, can you repeat?
The benefit of the Grihastha Ashram is you see that there's the purpose of it is that the senses are engaged in the Lord's service. So as a brahmachari, if your senses are already engaged in the Lord's service and you're comfortable, then what's the point of the grihastha ashram? Because ashram means it's you're engaged in devotional service. So whether you're doing that as a brahmachari or as a grihastha, it doesn't matter. Right? So for the brahmachari, he sees simple life, you just are engaged, and everything's nice. So the grihastha may think, no, a wider range of things to engage, this, that, that's nice. But after some time, the grihastha sees, no, it's the engagement in service that's important. So we're not avoiding the grihastha ashram because it's trouble. We're avoiding the grihastha ashram because we don't need it. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that we're not convinced about the trouble, but there needs to be that positive element of being engaged in service. And we're satisfied in that engagement. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, exactly.
The next question is from Pushpa Drishti.
So it's our ashram is composed by brahmacharis. Can you quote how these devotees can interact in appropriate way with the Vaishnavis without thinking that he is hurting his own ashram? And another question. One of the two Swamis, Bhaktidhira Swami or Narasingha Swami, in one class, that the Grihastha ashram is responsible for taking care of the other ashrams. How to do this appropriately?
So the point is that a neutral position is the natural position. It means you're not attached, but you're not repulsed. So therefore, you just pleasantly deal with everything because of its connection to Krishna. Right? Material energy is Krishna's energy. Maya means we think it's for us. So therefore, then one is just engaged in service, you know. So that way you can be, you know, cultured. Like you meet people on the street, you're pleasant with them. It doesn't mean that you have an attachment from them or you have a repulsion towards them. So that way then the boys behave properly, right? At the same time, it's because the boys behave nicely. The girl shouldn't think, oh, he wants to marry me. So that's the point. If he deals rough, then the girl's, you know, no, he doesn't want to marry, but why are they so rough? And then if he's nice, then, oh, he wants to marry me. So, I mean, you have to find a balance. So only how much interaction is necessary for the service, that's how much is there. And grihasthas means they understand and appreciate the other ashrams. You know, so therefore, then they're respectful towards these other ashrams. You know, so therefore, then what facilities can be created, then they're supportive of that. You know, so time and energy can be put into service as one is able and, you know, as one is able and as is appropriate. You know, so the grihasthas don't need to come around at night, tuck the brahmacharis in and give them a kiss on the forehead. You know, you just find, you know, what is supportive. That makes sense?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir.
The next question is from Manahara Prabhu.
Actually, the question is from other devotees. What's the relationship of the training of Brahmacharini with the Stri Dharma, the nature of the feminine nature? In terms of the child, what is the difference of training girls and the boys in the system of Gurukula? These are the two questions.
Means for the boys, when they're in the home, they tend to not be very conscious of their environment because their mother does everything. So basically their full-time occupation is playing, being an idiot and making trouble and learning how to be cute. If you either want something or you want to get out of being in trouble. And so if they become very expert at this, then that's nice. It's good for moms, but it'll never work for wives. Being an idiot and then just smiling is not enough. So they have to be taken away from that home environment into an environment where there's other boys and the teachers, and they become aware of how things work. Right? The place gets clean because they do it. There's food because they cook. They have clothes because they wash them. Right? Things are where you expect them to be because you put them there. Right? There's other people. There's a universe. There's Krishna. Right? There's relationships. So the boy learns all these things by being in the Gurukul. Right? So the difference is boys tend to not be conscious. You have to make them conscious. Then being conscious, they have to be aware of other people. And being aware of other people, then what is the relationship? Then you interact based on that relationship. And so then, yes. But for girls, they're always conscious. They know that there's clothes because their mom washed them. There's food because their mom cooked it. The house is clean because their mom did it. You know, and naturally being a girl, they'll help their mom in these things as they grow up. So being conscious, understanding relationships, understanding work, that's not a problem for them. What they have to work on is it's not about themselves. How to work in a relationship so it's not about themselves. So if the boy gets trained as a brahmachari and he's able to do work without desiring results, then that combination works very well, that boy and that girl. But if the boy thinks it's about himself and the girl thinks it's about herself, then you have a problem. So the more simple and austere it is for boys, the better they learn.
Sorry, Maharaj, can you repeat?
For the boys, if the brahmachari ashram is a floor, four walls, and a ceiling, they become more conscious.
I didn't really catch the last point, I'm sorry.
Boys don't need, if there's no furniture and no facilities in the brahmachari ashram, they become more aware of what's there. But the brahmacharini ashram can have furnitures and beds and couches and stuff like that because they're already conscious. Because they'll keep it clean. The boys won't. Right? So then the girls focus on, you know, proper cooking, proper cleaning. Then according to their own specific nature, whatever particular kind of knowledge and skills and activities that they want to learn, and they learn those things. On the boys, you have to put on that menial service and that focus on study. Girls by nature are active. Boys by nature can easily be happy that the girls are active and the boy won't be active. So boys need to be away from the home environment to learn what is environment. That makes sense? Then, if they can take care of their own environment, they can either remain a brahmachari and they're comfortable, or they can get married and they understand and appreciate the home environment and what work goes into it. That makes sense? So the idea is becoming conscious, becoming Krishna conscious. So girls are already conscious, then they simply have to see how to engage in Krishna consciousness. So each position has its advantage and disadvantage.
So, Maharaj, thank you very much for your response. Within my short knowledge regarding Tridharma, I didn't have the notion, the knowledge that in the process of training girls in Gurukul, there was a stage regarding their varna or their nature. So, with your blessings, we are aiming to start a Gurukul here in South Brazil next year. And I would like to hear more regarding this specific training for ladies, this regarding their nature. If there is anything different from the boys' training regarding their varna or their nature, and what will be their occupation. So could you please explain more in this regard?
point is that understanding one's relationship with Krishna and all that, engaging in Krishna service, that's the same thing, right? Learning the various branches of knowledge and all that, that's according to the interest of the, you know, there's general knowledge everyone learns, and then specific knowledge that will be, you know, where the individual has the particular interest, right? Girls will get a lot, you know, I mean, the cooking element is there, the refinement of it, right? The cleaning, you know, how to do very nicely and fine things, right? Well, the boys, just if they in general keep it clean, that's what most can do.
Sorry, Maharaj, I missed this one.
The girls can get into fine things like cleaning the rug, cleaning the curtains, cleaning the pillows. While with the boys, if they just clean the floor and it's not a mess, you're doing good. You know, if the boys will rinse their gumsha after using it, you're doing good. So, you know, like that. Boys, you may run less subjects, you know, just, you know, for more time. While the girls, you know, in one day, while girls tend to be more interested in learning more topics for a shorter time in a day. Because if a girl likes to do something, she's fully focused. So in a shorter time, she'll learn more. And then it'll move on to another topic quickly. So more variety.
Mais variedade.
Everything will move quicker, like that. Well, the boys, you have to, you know, go step by step. Because they tend to, as I said, not be conscious. They don't know why you need to know language or why you should do this or that. As far as they're concerned, they should play all day. And then as the time goes where they have particular interest, they want to specialize, then both boys and girls go into areas of more, you know, more detail according to what they're interested in.
Okay. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay, very good.
Can we take one quick last question from Bodhana Prabhu? You can make it quick.
Bodhana Prabhu. So Maharaj, you can take one quick question.
Yeah, if he asks the question.
Previously, there was a culture of saying that if you would leave Brahmacharya Ashram and go to Grihastha, you would be falling down. So we know that this is not true, but we should also not be very averse to all of that. So if you can explain more about this point.
Yes, it's just a matter of what's the best situation to be in, to engage in Krishna service. Everyone needs training as the Brahmachari, but having been trained, then some stay Brahmachari and others get married. So the point is what is good for the individual? Naistika Brahmachari means they don't get married, right? They get trained as a Brahmachari, then they make a commitment to be a Naistika Brahmachari, right? An Upakurvana Brahmachari means he gets trained as a Brahmachari, and then after training, then he gets married, you know? So it's just a natural stage. It's just stage. There's something to learn. So, therefore, you understand about married life, but you don't need that, then that's a brahmachari, that's a naistika brahmachari. So the brahmachari, he understands about grihastha life, and then he realizes what's to be gained, so he can remain a naistika brahmachari. So the upagavana means he gets trained, he understands what is grihastha life, but he hasn't realized. So he goes through, he gets married, and by being a grihastha, then he realizes. So by going through grihastha life, you come to the same realization of a naistika brahmachari. That's why there's vanaprastha. Does that make sense?
He wants to ask another point. Can we go for that?
Ben, what's his question?
Prabhupada is saying that in the past days, or maybe even present days, in India, it's known that some people, they put the child in the Gurukul, planning to counting the days, planning the future to get his family, to marry another, a Russian, an American, or European. So, he's putting the child is present in the Gurukul, but the plans are, to get out of Brahmachari to marry somebody from, higher class, social class. And just a second. So, how to stop, this type of contamination? How someone can get, how to fight against this contamination?
Right, he's dealing with a yatra in India that he has this problem. I'm not sure where those families are that he's talking about, but Russians wanting to marry Russian girls wanting to marry Indian boys, that I've heard of. But then the Indian guys would rather marry an American and or Australian so they can go to America or Australia. So I'm not sure what's the question, actually. The point is pure devotional service means giving up the desire for karma and jnana. So if we put the focus on pure devotional service, then all these problems work out. There's only spiritual solutions for any problem. There are no material solutions to material problems. Is that okay?
He's saying okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we should come to an end now. The time is very much over. Thank you to all the devotees who attended. And thank you, Shmaraj, for all the instructions you've given today for the last few days.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for everything, for your time. Swami Mataji, I could stay with the devotees for a little bit?
Yes. Okay. So, thank you, Maharaj. His Holiness spoke to me, Maharaj ki.
Jai.
Haribol.